right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, are you back with us?
I am. Yep.
All right. So you heard the county executive. Anything stick out from what you've heard, or if you had the opportunity, something that you would have wanted to ask him?
Well, the only thing I think that the county needs is some new and different revenue sources. I think he touched on that. You know, not only aid from the state, but other ways for the county to raise money. Local governments are currently saddled with the fact that they can basically only raise money with the property tax, which is not a very effective way to raise the kind of money that they need. And so, you know, I think people who are urban planning thinkers believe that most urban areas are in need of revenue sources that are independent from property tax.
So, Sandy, what kind of revenue sources, are there, that... You know, it takes a lot of money to run a county. Going back a number of decades now, the county gave up a lot of its chips, you know, that it used to have to bring down that liability. And yet, even in having done that, it hasn't been able to right itself.
Well, I mean, one of the problems has to do with not being a growing municipality. Back in the 20s and 30s, when Milwaukee, particularly the 20s, the county was growing robustly, and it was through the 50s. And when it was growing, it had the ease of a growing revenue source, and the revenues were growing faster than the expenses were, so they were able to invest in things like the zoo and a bunch of all the parks.
The airport.
Yeah. So all of that happened at a time of growth. Now the metro area, at least the city and the county, are probably shrinking populations. The city is, at least. The county is probably pretty stagnant. So that's a problem. You know, the sales tax, being able to tack onto that, having some other use taxes could be helpful. And then having some kind of revenue sharing that would directly tie into the income tax in a way that wouldn't put the county basically at risk of the legislature all the time would be helpful. But, you know, mainly the urban areas are saddled with lots of problems and with very limited revenue streams, and both the city and the county suffer as a result.
And you know, Sandy, we know that. And we know the dire straits that we are talking about. Yet, you know, if at some point in time those things aren't rectified or corrected, it's kind of like the same thing that we're talking about with Ukraine. It's inevitable that it's going to fail.
Yes, and one of the problems with the urban versus rural conflict, the polarization that's happened politically with the Republican Party basically representing non-urban areas, and the urban areas are Democratic and different, and the state houses are basically controlled by Republicans, at least in a majority of states across the country. So those Republican state houses are not particularly keen on, in fact, they're busily pointing their finger at the cities, describing them as problems. And they aren't particularly keen on sending more money. They want to send less money to those jurisdictions as part of the sort of polarization of the political view of things. And that's really at the heart of the problem, and it's at the heart of finding the solution as well.
You know, Sandy, the folly in that thought process is that the failure of these major urban cities is also going to be the failure of the rural areas. We are interconnected, and whether people want to believe that or not is the danger, inherent danger in this. Am I right?
Well, of course, you can look across the country, and the states that don't have any major metropolitan areas located in them are not prosperous places. The cities, the metropolitan areas, are the jewels in the crown of each state, and they need to thrive. And states that have cities that don't thrive suffer. And so, you know, that it's the self-interest of the state to participate in making sure that the cities thrive, just like it's the self-interest of the suburbs around the cities and the metropolitan areas that are not the actual city jurisdiction to make sure that the urban areas thrive. So we have, in Milwaukee, we have this problem of the outlying parts of the metro area being politically opposed to what's needed inside the city, and then that whole thing is magnified in the state. And it needs to be resolved, but it's not going to be resolved in the current political setting without a change in politics. And I talked a couple of days ago about the need for the Democratic Party to reach into the urban, into the rural spaces, and get more representation there. And this is one of the reasons why.
Let's do this. Who do we have on the phone line? Okay. All right. So, but let's also, Sandy, at this point, we do know, and I say it, and use the term, it's going to fail. And I don't say that with, you know, as if I'm some great thinker, but I've watched my city over the last six decades. I've watched it, and I see, you know, it's not enough that we have, you know, as a good friend of mine, Robert Miranda, term that he uses, Camelot, you know, downtown, and then several blocks away from that, destitute. I mean, we see all of those things, and yet politics continues to play a role in why it is the way it is. And we don't need to continue to beat this stick, but I don't know, Sandy, how do you change people's mindsets? Because that's where this is, more than anything else. It's the mindset of people who are stuck on things and on people that they really know nothing about.
Well, like I said, I think it's messaging. I think it's the partisan messaging that has to change. And I point the finger at the Democrats in that regard. I think their messaging has to change so that they're dealing with issues that cross both geographic urban and rural boundaries, as well as ethnic boundaries. And so they deal with, for instance, poverty and the need for solutions to that. They need to talk about all this in a manner that is inclusive and brings the rural and urban point of view together, closer together, instead of pointing fingers at one another. And the conversation you had with County Executive Crowley about how do we get more money from the state is sort of a bit of a symptom of this problem. You know, how are we going to get it from the state? You know, the state should be figuring out exactly how it should dispense money to make sure that the city thrives. And there shouldn't be this contest that exists right now.
You know, Sandy, there's so many things that I've learned from you over the years, but I don't think there's any as important or valuable as one that you mentioned about the fact that the city of our government has no plan. I was looking at something the other day, as baby boomers like myself and you continue this march to where physically we and mentally we may no longer be able to, you know, live on our own and do things. The evil consequences of time is what I refer to it as. And we know this is coming, Sandy. We know as a society this is coming. Why are we not making the necessary moves right now as a nation to address what we know is going to be a major problem not just for those of us who are aging, but for the generations who come after us who are going to be laden with those issues.
Well, I think it's the election cycle. Congressmen get elected every 2 years, and that's all they're worried about. So we don't have it, it's a cultural thing more than it's a that our politics reflects our culture, and our culture is not any longer community driven or future focused. We aren't focused on our grandchildren and great grandchildren. We've become focused on ourselves, and I really would accuse the baby boomers and the people we've raised as the ones who have become the me generation. We have to look to the people who immigrate to the United States, the first generation U.S. citizens, who are the ones who are future-oriented and worry about their children. That's why they came here. They came here to push their children and grandchildren above and ahead of themselves. But we as a people, the people who are indigenous here to the United States in terms of having lived here for generations, we've forgotten how to do that. We've forgotten community involvement. We've forgotten community obligation. And we've forgotten future planning.
You know, Sandy, but we pontificate from our mouths that we're concerned about our children and our families and our grandchildren. You can't beat people saying that. But if you look at our actions, they are far, far off from what is coming out of our mouths. We've got to go to a break, so I'd love for you to respond to that on the other side. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is here. It's always comforting knowing he's here. We'll be right back.